B-Pod Studios.
Anyway, let's see what the story is with the Foles situation and also why Carson Wentz felt the need to respond to the story that was in the Philly Voice by bringing in the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. There's a story in Today about this. His name is Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Timmy, how are you doing today?
Mike, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Great follow-up with Carson regarding that Philly Voice thing. And did anything he said to you in that surprise you?
No, I don't think anything surprised me. I thought that the tone was one where he didn't validate the story, but also didn't dismiss the story. One of the things that he said is he tried to play private detective at one point to figure out who it would be, realizing that ultimately it didn't really matter. But the other part of that is you can't really rule everything out. In other words, if there's anonymous sources saying they said X about him, he can't dismiss that totally.
Right.
So he's leaving open the possibility that there are some players that did have an issue with him and therefore is kind of being reflective about it and saying, is there anything that I can do better to make sure that there isn't the type of friction that was described in the piece?
And he said that clearly. That he said that I haven't really encountered any friction, and so I don't know what this is all about, but I guess it could be possible. And then he went on to say, yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, some of that, I think, had to do with sort of where his mind was during the rehab process. I think he got into tunnel vision a little bit after suffering his torn ACL and LCL, and was just hell-bent on getting back. And so he was kind of in his bubble that way. And he kind of described himself as being feeling isolated from the rest of the group during that process, because physically you're not in the same places as your teammates. And even when you're on the field, you're on a different field from the rest of the guys that are practicing when you're going through the rehab process. I think that kind of weighed on him. I think that he admitted that he was all over the place emotionally, was his quote. And that's pretty telling for a guy that when he, and the way that he publicly faces, he seems kind of even keeled. But he admitted that he was very much on a roller coaster ride, and that through all of that, he may not have been the best teammate in the process. So, he acknowledged that he has flaws. And I think that was probably the right tack to take, because if you go on the offensive and you don't acknowledge that some people might feel this way about you, then I think it could have an adverse effect.
Do you feel, in talking to him, that he feels the need to just open it up to some kind of a town hall meeting with his teammates? Or is this going to just play out the way, listen, I'm just going to play next year, and whoever wasn't with me, I'm going to win him over?
I don't think town hall. I don't think that he'll ignore it completely. But I think he got enough support from the bulk of his teammates where he doesn't really feel like it's this widespread, animosity towards him or anything like that, or is something that's going to hold the team back. But at the same time, recognizes that he can't just dismiss it out of hand. So I'm sure he'll address it in some way, but I don't think it's going to be any kind of grand production. I think more so he's just going to keep, his antenna up and be cognizant of the fact of, what's the perception of me, and without kind of going away from who I am, is there anything that I can do so that identification of me doesn't exist?
All right, let's look at yesterday's Super Bowl. I don't know how bored you were, but a lot of people were, and a lot of people were saying that makes the Eagles look even better. If they were able to ring that many points against Bill Belichick, the Rams couldn't do anything with them. That makes that victory even more sweeter. What did you think of the ineffectiveness of both offenses yesterday?
Well, yeah, I think it does reflect pretty well on Philly. Some people will take it down the road. If only Alshon Jeffery caught that pass in New Orleans, then maybe they could have actually won it again, and maybe they would have. But at least as far as it applies to last year's team, I think it does paint them in a really good light, because you don't want to read too much into what you see on a television, but when they show Jared Goff pregame, I thought he looked kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in his play, it seemed a bit shaky. Like he just wasn't feeling confident in slinging it like he normally is. And if you contrast that with the way that Foles looked on that stage and the way that Peterson looked versus McVay against this Patriots team, I mean, I think it reflects really well on the head coach and the quarterback that they were able to deal on a huge stage like that against a juggernaut of a franchise in the Patriots that are daunting to go against. And to kind of push all that aside and have that sort of performance where Foles goes toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, who, by the way, had arguably his best performance in the Super Bowl ever last year and still lost, I think reflects incredibly well on the 2017 Eagles.
All right, that sounds good. Now let's get to the business at hand here and the Foles situation, because by next Sunday they have to pick up the option. Now, logically, it's the best thing they can do because they just can't squander a compensatory pick. So what do you think happens here?
I think it's still fluid, and let me kind of explain why. I believe that the intention was to exercise the option on Foles. I think the signals are there that that's what the Eagles were planning on doing. And then Foles' camp's move would be to opt out of that contract. So pay back $2 million, work your way towards free agency. Now, the whole other layer on top of that is the fact that the franchise tag may, in fact, be in play here. What the Eagles have to figure out and navigate is if they go the route of I'm going to make you pay me back $2 million. Does that impact at all the way that the negotiations go as it applies to franchise, tag, and trade? Because Foles has a little bit of leverage here in that he has to sign the transition tender or the franchise tender, and he would also theoretically have to kind of sign off on the team that he's going to, because that team would likely want to do a deal on the back end of this. In other words, he's got some power. He's got a little bit of clout here. And if the Eagles just try to take $2 million, which is supposed to be for buying back your freedom, and then saying, by the way, I'm going to tag you now so you don't really have that freedom, is that going to ruffle any feathers as it applies to the negotiations internally with Foles? So I believe that the original intent was to do this option, and it could still go that way. But I think it's something that the Eagles have to think about, whether it's worth it to get that $2 million if it could kind of mess up everything else.
So the option would be to just let him go and not pick up the option?
Well, so what they have to determine is whether they have a trade partner in place.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, then they're going to franchise tag him in order to get right. something for him as he goes out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if they ultimately decide that they can't find a trade partner, then they could exercise the option to have him buy it out so they do get the $2 million on his way out the door and then just let him walk. So that's why it's a pretty fluid process. But by this time next week, they have to figure out what they're going to do as it applies to the option. And then the window opens up between February 19th and March 5th for the franchise tag. So this is going to be one to watch for sure over the coming 2 weeks.
All right, let's take it to the extreme. If all this happens and they do wind up franchise tagging him, and he has that price tag of about $25 million, and they try to trade him there, and a team that's not palatable to any trading partner at all, is there a slight chance that he's making $25 million and he's still with the Eagles next year?
Well, that's where Foles kind of has serious power here, because there's no circumstance, in my view, that the Eagles can hold on to him for $25 million as a backup next year. I mean, that is just an extraordinary kind of burden on your cap. He'd be making significantly more than Wentz. I mean, there's just so many reasons why that wouldn't be tenable. So, no, I don't think that can happen. And that's why they need to have that trade partner in place first. And so while their intention may be to place the franchise tag on him, I don't know that they can say definitively that's what they're going to do yet, because they got to make sure that Foles is on board. They got to make sure that the trading partner is on board. Mm-hmm. And without those two factors, they just can't make that move. They can't afford to.
Okay, so franchising is only available to them to buy them more time to find a trade partner.
Franchise tag can only work if they have a trade partner. Because I believe if they put the franchise tag on them, Foles is going to sign it immediately. Because it's a good leverage point for him. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $25 million, it's great. I think that they'll rush to kind of sign that franchise tag, which means that the Eagles are in this spot where they just absolutely then have to move them. So really the homework, the legwork has to be done before they make that move, because it can't be a risk. It has to be a certainty that they're going to be able to move them.
All right. Have you heard, this is a preposterous question, but we have to address it because Kareem Hunt's going to wind up with somebody. Have you heard any conversation that they would be amenable to Kareem Hunt, or have they ruled him out?
I don't have definitive word on that. Either way, we can say through their recent history that they've kind of stayed away from those types of situations. It's one that they obviously would have to do a ton of work on and weigh all the different factors. So I would lean towards the fact that they probably wouldn't do that, but not ruling it out completely. Still need to do a little bit more kind of investigative work on that before I can say that for sure.
Sounds good. Timmy, great job, and we will talk to you.
All right, Mike. Sounds good.
There
Thanks.
He is, Tim McManus, covering Eagles for ESPN.com. Good stuff in today's paper, going over a bunch of questions with one Nick Foles.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.